Can I ask you to join me and let's pray for you. Father God, we just thank you that Pat is here with us this morning to share from your word and to share stories of what you've been doing in her life and the life of those in Peru. Lord, we pray you fill her with your Holy Spirit now as she shares. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. It's good to be back. I think it's been, 5 years since I was here. Do I move on with that? And sometimes it feels like yesterday, sometimes it seems like very, long time. So it is good to be back with you today. And as I said earlier, thank you so much for all that you've enabled me to experience, to share with others. It has been an amazing 20-odd years, things I did that I never thought I would do. And every time I used to walk around the shanty towns, I did this thing I've never imagined doing this. So a big thank you to all of you. Gracias. To all of you for journeying with me and expecting about what's going to do, not just here but in Peru as well. And it's been a difficult time to decide about leaving. I'd made my decision before the pandemic, thought I had a plan, and didn't really pan out like it was. But I thank God for the time when I started in Nazareno. Peter will remember coming to visit when we did the build. We were doing the building in that church and the great ministry with the music group, the young people, and all that there going on through the years to then start another church, build the Center for the Disabled. And so really, I did things I couldn't always know. God would do imaginably more than you can ask or imagine. I would never imagine when I left England in year 2000 that I would do, he would do so much through me. That's it, I haven't done anything. And that's why, in a way, when I was thinking about leaving and really felt that it was the right thing to do, God showed me that it's not mine, it wasn't mine. I would never have done anything if he hadn't empowered me and his church wasn't behind me with all that we were doing. So he has done great things, and it's his name that we'd be praised, and he is carrying on the work. It was very difficult to leave things closed. We shut the project down in September 2020, and they're doing some things, but not so much at the moment. Schools have been closed completely for 2 years, which means most of the children in state education have had no education because they haven't done anything online, they haven't got laptops, there may be one phone with a family of many, and so if they ever do go back, they may go back next month. Some of the private schools are going back, but the state schools, with all the distancing, people are still wearing two masks outside in Peru. There is no kind of relaxation of any of the restrictions. And I think there was an article last year that Peru has probably had the highest death rate per capita for the whole world. We've got an ordinary failing health system, really lots of people with very poor health. There's not a great health system that controls people's medication as they go through. You can buy anything over the counter, so people are in a mess in terms of their health. And on top of that, a pandemic, and you can imagine that. So I've relocated to another seaside town. But Lima's on the sea. So I used to enjoy going down to the sea and seeing the Pacific coast and all that. So I've relocated now to Bournemouth, where I grew up, and was here last year as well for a while. And I think for me, my leaving Peru and realising that was a decision that I was going back just to pack up and say goodbye when I returned last year. I walked through with God on those coasts. I walked through and listened to him. And I wrote some poetry and did some artwork and stuff, and I'm going to share something with you that this morning. So again, for me, it was a decision that I walked through with God, and although it wasn't as smooth as it could have been, I am now back here, and he who promised is faithful. And this is why I just love that last song we prayed and we sang. He has been so faithful in just enabling things to move forward in ways that I hadn't seen or imagined, really. And I'm God, who is faithful to me as I come back, is faithful to those who are left in Peru. And I'm so grateful that the Lord raised up Raul, who is a guy that I've known since he was 14. I used to counsel him on camps when we were young, when we were all young, and he went off to the camps. And so when the bishop said, I'm going to send Raul to you, I thought, oh, that's great, And then when Raul knew that I wasn't going to go back to stay, I really felt that he really stepped up, and because we've known each other for a long time, and he just said to me, "Well, I'm really encouraged. We've got a great ministry here to carry on, but you've just set the bar too high, you know." And that was lovely, really, because I just felt that I was leaving a legacy, and God was still being faithful to them there. So I can watch that video now and not cry, which is great. I think that's really, I've moved on, you know, because before I thought about Peru, thinking, "Oh no, that's really, you know, how could I leave them?" But I can watch that with thankfulness for all that God has done in those 21 years, and with great expectation of what he's going to do in the future with them as well. So again, it is an interesting time that we're in. And as part of CMS, they have also been looking at what is changing in mission. Our world is changing. And they've been looking at the passage from Mark 4 about Jesus crossing over to the other side of the lake to go to places on the edges. And they've got this new strap line. Our world made new through the love of God as we follow Jesus to the edges. And I think it's a time of looking at places where there is no Christian witness, where there are people that are not included. And that's part of what I did in Peru with the disabled, enabling people that were ostracized, left out, not included, bringing them into the church and enabling them to fulfill God's potential in them. And it was great to see how God used our youth leader who couldn't read or write, you know, and how he encouraged him in just being part of our community, and his very presence and other people's presence being so much important about living out faith together in the community. So we're talking about going to the edges. I know as you as a church, I'm leaving, so, you know, you need to think about who you're going to support or what you're going to support. And when I was talking to Sandra yesterday, it was really encouraging. You know, you're the only missionary here that wasn't homegrown. I thought, oh, well, goodness me, Pip and Jim have been sending out people, you know, and you've got a great record of, you know, people being called and, you know, doing those small things that grow into big things. And I just really encourage you, you know, to keep on that focus, because God will bless those churches that look outside. But also remembering that our mission is just not across an ocean. It's across the street. It's across the fence with our neighbours. It's across everywhere where we need to go. And perhaps some of us have got to know our neighbours a bit more in the pandemic. Perhaps some of us have been doing different things. And I think it's a challenge that mission is going out of our comfort zone. And our passage today, So Latin America, they're working in hubs. CMS are working on hubs, looking at indigenous people, including them in the day-to-day life of the church, not just those that speak Spanish in different countries, but all the different languages in Peru, in Brazil, in Chile, in all the different areas. And also a thing that is so important, pioneering mission. Again, that's not just overseas, it's here. Pioneering mission, going to the edge, going to those places, those tough places, those difficult places to preach Jesus. And I think as we look at our passage today, living in the light of Christ, that's a call to each one of us to live a Christian life where we are. I'm no longer a missionary, but I'm a Christian still, a Christian. Hopefully I don't lose any of my Christianness by coming back off the mission field. I just come back and relocate into a different mission field. And all of us are missionaries. I don't like to be put on a pedestal. And somebody said to me last week, "Oh, good, it's great to know that you're just an ordinary person." I thought, "Thank you, yes, I'm just an ordinary person." And we are just ordinary people that love God, hopefully. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you're just new to this, or you're still investigating, you know, we just need to realize that we're living in times that need Jesus. As that CMS strapline says, our world needs Jesus. You know, go and make him known. Whether that's in Peru, in your local neighborhood, in your local group, or whatever, or with your own family. I mean, I came back for my family, and God has done amazing things. There's been some great reconciliation going on in my family since I came back. And I just thank God that was a catalyst for reconciliation into my family. And I just thank God for all that he's been doing. So living in the light of Christ, how can we live for him wherever we are? Well, what our message says, be imitators of God. So it's a different version that you use. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. We're called to imitate our Heavenly Father. We're called to be his, like somebody prayed this morning, you know, that was prayed, you know, his hands and feet. I just love it how things that God's saying to us all come together. We are God's hands and feet here in the world. People aren't going to know him unless we have an impact in their lives. And that impact can be as big, as small as we can in our experience. So imitate God as dearly loved children. As I said earlier, we're family. And just as our human families kind of have different traits of them, some of them are good, that carried on through generations. Some things you would say, well, you're just like your father. You're just like your mother, you know. But we need to be like our Heavenly Father because we're family. We're his loved children. We need to bring out his characteristics. Holy, set apart, compassionate, forgiving, loving. Are those characteristics that we live out each day in our lives? Because we should be. If we're family, we carry on the family tradition. As God sent Jesus to be God incarnate with us, living a life that showed God's love. Jesus' teaching, his miracles, getting alongside people, challenging people. That's the light that we need to follow in our lives every day. And it's a choice. We have to choose to do this. Live as children of the light. And here in this passage, Paul presents us with the two options. We've got this list, like we have in Galatians 5, the list of all the things, sins of the flesh, and then we have the fruits of the Spirit. Here we have as well those things. We have all the sexual immorality, the greed, all those things that belong in the dark. And perhaps we may do them in the dark. But all the things in the light, gentleness, long-suffering, peace, patience, goodness, love, light, all the positive things that we need to show in our lives. And it is a choice. We can't one day do all the good things and then next do all the bad things. But sometimes we do. That's why we have our confession. And I was reading a book recently, Simon Ponsonby, a commentary on Romans, says, address what you confess. If we are confessing the same sins all the time and we're not addressing them in our lives, something's very wrong with us. When we come to confession, we should be confessing what we do in the dark, but really challenging to change that behavior in us. We are a new creation. God has called us out of the light, out of the darkness, sorry, into the light of life. So does our life reflect God's light living in us? And I think it's a check for all of us. Some things sound quite challenging, but greed, coarse joking, indifference, injustice, prejudice. We can all perhaps see that in ourselves. But thank God that he is merciful, that he forgives us, gives us another opportunity to shine for him when we go a different route. And I just think with that, those two lists and the idea of living in the dark and the light, that's such a great contrast. And that just reminded me of that verse in Revelation 3, when John is speaking to the churches, and he says, Laodicea, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. What does he say? I'm going to spit you out. When we choose to follow Christ, it's not like Sunday I'll be extra good and then all the week I can do what I like. No, the challenge that we live is to live out every day living in the light of Christ. And that's a real challenge. We don't always get it right. We struggle with those dark areas of our life. We struggle with the decisions we make. I even struggled when I was leaving Peru. Can I leave them in the pandemic clothes? Can I feel, you know, and I think it's not up to you. You know, we just, sometimes we get things wrong. And sometimes we put aside what we were going to do and take on what God is going to do through in us and through us. So today the challenge is to choose light over darkness, so that we can have that great inheritance that Paul says, the inheritance of eternal life. We need to imitate God, our creator. We need to imitate Jesus, his miracles, his just alongside people, walking through Galilee, being with people, being with those on the margins. And I think God at this time is calling people out of their comfort zones. We've all been out of our comfort zones in the pandemics. Let's carry on going the extra mile, doing things that we wouldn't normally do, because we are living in different days. And God is with us as we do these things. And Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as he declares that for himself, he says to his disciples and all those that we read now, the Bible, the truths contained in that, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, and that men may see God and praise your Father in heaven. We are called to follow Jesus' example. He is the light of the world, and we are called also to be the light of the world, to shine in those dark places, to give an answer where there is fear, bring the hope. Where there is indifference, bring love. And we are called to be light in this world. And that is a great challenge to each one of us. And that challenge, as it did for Jesus, for us it also means obedience to what God wants. Not what I do, but what God will do through me. It means sacrifice, putting aside the things that we want to do, would love to do, but making different choices in our lives. It means bringing hope where there is fear. And it means bringing God's truths where there are lies. And I love just how that fitted in with the prayers this morning as well. And I just want for a moment to focus on this candle. I chose this image. You could have chosen different things, a light bulb, a sun, or whatever. But just to focus on that flame. And in the middle of the flame, what is happening to that wick? It's being burnt up. You know, part of us needs to be consumed. Our sinful part, our humanity, our fallen humanity needs to be burnt up. And the wax melts away as our old characteristics melt away, and we can be light and shine. As 1 Peter mentions, we are God. Gold is refined by fire. And sometimes we need to go through the fire of life to come out shining even more brighter for God. And I think of all the different circumstances in my life when things have seemed really difficult. I stand here today saying God is faithful. He can bring us through all sorts of things, even leaving Peru in a pandemic and feeling a bit ashamed about that. But God is just, I just stand here today thinking, words are not enough to explain what God can do in us and through us if we're just willing to be obedient to him. You know, we can all be missionaries. We can all be that light that shines in dark places for our families, for our communities, for where we work, our church family. And it's giving away what is not of us, letting it be burnt up in us. And I just want to, there's this passage from Isaiah 60. Wake up, rise and shine. That sounds a bit like a chorus I learned when I was little. I was trying to think about what it was. Rise, shine, give God the glory. That's right, yes. And I think this passage, and there's three other things I just want to share from the next verse that really kind of want to encourage us. Wake up. We need to wake up at the moment and just be realize what God's doing. Wake up from doing things how we've always done them. We've got a new opportunity to do things differently. So we need to rise up. We need to wake up. Wake up and get out of the dark. We need to rise up above our problems. We need to rise up above feeling that we can't do anything. We need to rise like our risen Savior and claim the victory. We have the victory in Christ. He can overcome anything. So wake up from thinking that it's all terrible. No. Rise up above the situations. Rise up as our Jesus conquered death. And we need to shine. Let God's love shine on us so that we can shine for him. And I think really the last three things on our last verses. Be very careful how you live. It's a warning to all of us. If we have received God's light, we need to be careful how we use that, or else we could cause a terrible fire. We need to be careful how we live our lives wherever we are, because people are always watching. And I know that's an incredible challenge, even as I speak it myself, to every day take a check on our lives, how we're living, because one day we will be answerable to God. So be very careful how we live our lives. If we're a Christian and we say we live for Christ, then we need to make sure that every day we are checking in with him. And I just love this next bit, the second part. Make every most of the opportunity, of every opportunity. God gives us so many opportunities to share him. And I think sometimes we don't take the opportunity. In the classical confession, you know, things that I have done and the things that I have not done. And God will call us to account when we've not. He's given us a great opportunity to share our faith, and we decide that we're running a bit late, or I don't know what I'm going to say, and we don't take that opportunity. And I think I'm always putting myself in check for that. Was there something that I could have done in that situation that I didn't do? And I still know that God can work in that, but he wants to use us. He wants to be co-participant with us in all that we do. And I've been doing the Lectio 365, and there's a lovely prayer at the end of every day, and just talks about each day as being an opportunity. And it's been really helpful to me as I've come back into a new situation. My routine of life is very different. You know, I go to the corner shop, I've got neighbours, sort of different things in England. And it just says, I'll just share this, and we'll pray this at the end as well, and I'm just going to finish. But we'll just share this now. It's a real challenge to how we live out in the light of Christ every single moment. It says, as I prepare to take this time of prayer into the coming day, I pray, Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. And that just resounds with me every single day. And why do we need to do that? The third thing, because the days are evil. We're living in terrible times. Sometimes it's just so difficult to say, where is God? But he is in every situation, and he will come through because he is faithful. And he wants us to be praying. He wants us to be giving. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to be kind to everyone we meet. He wants us to show God's love through a smile, through shining for him, showing those characteristics of a loving, forgiving God through us to those all around us. It's a daily surrender. Now, we may get it wrong many days. God is merciful. And I just want to share with you stories of three people. Some of you may have heard of them when I've been around, but just people that I just see of living in the light of Christ despite such great challenges in their life. I mean, there's many more that through the 20 years have been an inspiration to me. And I'm just thinking, well, you know, I'm supposed to be the missionary, but they've shown me so much of their sacrifice and obedience to God. So this lady's Etelvina, and she's my church warden, a very good friend of mine. And we prayed every week, every day for her husband, Faustine, to become a Christian. And it was amazing, probably about 5 years ago now, he became a Christian. It's like, how did that happen? You know, and it was just amazing. Only for 2 years later for him to die. He had a massive heart attack and died. And I rushed to the hospital and was just with her on the outside of the morgue. And she just said, well, all I can say is I thank God that he became a Christian. I thought, God, what, you know. And it's been a struggle for her, bringing up her daughter in university, the project she was involved in, the sewing, that folded as well. But she just continues to shine in that such challenging circumstances. And she, for me, is someone that I will always remember as being such a shining light for Christ. You know, a faithful one of prayer, and then God answered a prayer, but then that great tragedy of losing him, but that great knowledge that God is faithful and called him home. And so her perspective on things is very different. So pray for Etelvina. She's a great woman, and great shining light for Christ in that community. Louise, who one of our kids with cerebral palsy, who shines with his smile, with how he interacts. Every time I go to share the piece, he almost falls out of his wheelchair because he's just so excited to, you know, move. And I remember his confirmation when the bishop said to me, I'm going to ask them all to, you know, say that and confess, you know, that they believe in Jesus. I thought, he's nonverbal, he's not going to say anything. But there was no doubt whatever with how he was so excited, how he was just so full of a smile. There was no doubt that Christ's light was in him. And he is a light to us every Sunday he comes to church. And I think sometimes our very presence, even though we may not say anything, can be shining for God. And it's sometimes when we're silent and we're listening to other people where God's presence can really come into that situation. So don't be afraid that if you just go and see someone, you perhaps don't say anything, but your presence there and your commitment to them will speak volumes. And perhaps later on, they will call you and they will come into contact with you because they're somebody that they trust and they know that you have a faith that can perhaps help them. And the last person is Felicita. Had polio at a young age, in a wheelchair now, she can't walk, and during the pandemic she even broke her arm, so she was even more incapacitated really. But she is the person that shines so much, because she just goes everywhere, goes anywhere with her brother, who's also got learning difficulties, pushing him. And she just goes everywhere, and people are just encouraged, because she, who has so many struggles, is a great encourager to everybody else. Her willingness to go, her willingness to be present with people, her willingness to help people out is amazing. And so I think we can shine in different ways. We don't need to be eloquent preachers. We don't need to be, you know, have all the answers. We just need to be God's presence where we are, authentic presence where we are, with the people that we rub shoulders with every day. It's a struggle to live out a life every day. We have our doubts, we have our fears, we have our questions. And it was difficult for me when I think I decided about 3 or 4 years ago to leave Peru for family reasons. And it was a struggling time. Can I leave? As I said, can I leave in the middle of a pandemic? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? It didn't seem right. But I walked through with God, as I said, through those coastal walks last year. And I wrote some poetry. I did some painting. I see there's quite a lot of people here today, so I might have to send you some more. I've made little watercolour paintings with different verses on them, and I'll put them out at the back. So do take one. If they run out, I'll perhaps might send to post some to you, or you can share. But I just feel that even this can bless somebody. It doesn't have to be a great thing, you know, and this can speak to people. A smile can speak to people. And as I said, I wrote some poems. I just want to read one with you now, because it is a struggle to live out every day in the light of Christ. We often get it wrong. We often forget. We feel God's far away. And so let's just read this together. Well, I'll read it. When all seems to be a struggle and a strive, rest on the one who calms the storm, who provides a way and guides us home to give us hope and joy once more. When all seems dim and hopeless, call on the one who gave his life to bring us joy, an eternal home, and a future sure and true. When all seems a distant memory, God's love and care of past, draw near once more to hear the words, come unto me and rest. When all seems lost and out of reach, remember what he says, never will I leave you, never let you down. So stretch your faith, he'll pull you up, embrace you once again, and be a daily presence along life's daunting way. When all is joyful and smiles abound, remember how it feels and treasure all these memories that knowing Jesus brings. For on those days when things go wrong and pain comes our way, our strength will be in remembering his faithfulness and everlasting care. So we have the resources of our Heavenly Father, a sovereign, almighty, forgiving, merciful God. We have the resources of a risen Lord Jesus, conquering death and bringing us light in the darkness. And we have the resources of a Holy Spirit that refines us and transforms us so we can shine ever more brightly each and every day. I just want to finish in prayer, and we'll say that prayer as well. So let's just pray as I finish. Lord God, thank you that you call us into the light of your saving power through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we can shine because he rose from the dead. He conquered darkness. And that power is available to us who choose you today, choose to do your will, choose to decide to walk in the light, showing gentleness, kindness, goodness, mercy, and showing a smile to those that are struggling. Lord God, we thank you that you can use each one of us. Thank you that we each have a story of how you've worked in our lives, stories that can speak volumes for you. So Lord, help us to be available, help us to be brave, and help us to shine for you wherever we go today and each day in our lives. And Father, as we pray to prepare to take this time of worship into the coming day, we pray, Father, help us to live this day to the full being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Because the days are evil, but you are sovereign and you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.